This afternoon, if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 is probably one of the most significant passages when it comes to offering us as Christians hope. I remember at my uncle's funeral, my cousins had asked me to lead the singing, and also God laid on my heart to just read this whole chapter, which I read most of it, because most of the people that were there had grown up in Lutheran backgrounds and many of them weren't saved. My uncle was saved. He'd been saved as a young man, but a lot of people didn't understand my uncle. And as I shared that, my cousins told me afterwards it meant a lot to them to hear what I'd shared. And what I shared was that my uncle had hope. He had the hope of assurance that he was going to, on the resurrection, when the Lord returned to gather his church, he would be raised from the dead. That he was with the Lord, his soul and spirit were with the Lord the moment that he died. And as I shared with them, a lot of people didn't understand my uncle because he was so zealous to share his faith. And he lived in grew up in a Lutheran community. And when he got saved, he came back, and you'd think logically the first person you'd want to tell you got saved would be the pastor of your church. When my uncle told that to the pastor said, "Oh, Arthur," that was my uncle's name, "Oh, Arthur, we're not like that as Lutherans. We don't get all excited, our faith is just between us and God, and we just keep it between us and God." Well, my uncle never did. He told everybody, and sometimes he was bold, and sometimes he was brash, and he never had anybody that really ever taught him a lot of things. A lot of his theology was self-learned from reading the Bible and just listening to good Bible teachers on the radio, because there wasn't a good Bible-teaching church in my hometown. But I just wanted to share that with you, because this is the chapter of hope. This is a chapter where Paul talks to us all about the resurrection. And this afternoon, we're going to be looking at what is the resurrection. And we're going to be starting at verse 35, and we're going to be going through verse 50, if we can get that far. So let's take a look and read those verses this afternoon. "But some men will say, 'How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?' Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but the bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, 'The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have become the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand this. Help us to understand what the practical examples that Paul gives to just give us a clearer picture of what exactly the resurrection will be. And Father, help us to realize that this is only a temporary body that we're in, but our permanent ones shall come at that glorious day. Lord, now speak to us through your words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, oftentimes the rabbis, when they taught, would begin with questions. And there were two different types of questions that they'd ask. One would be a question where it was evident what the answer was that they were looking for. And the other was a question where they would give you a question and they really want you to have to think, what does he mean and what is he going to come with an answer to this question? The question that Paul opens up this teaching session for us and for the whole church is he starts with two questions that men ask. And these are questions that probably unbelievers may have asked you, or maybe even some believers have this question and wonder, what exactly is a resurrected body? What exactly is it when we're resurrected from the dead? So he begins and he says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? The question is, by what means are they raised? You've all been to funerals, you've all been to graveside services. And you go out there, and when you go to the funeral, if they have an open casket, they'll have the body laying there. And it's amazing. People come by and say, oh, they look so wonderful. Well, they're dead. There's no life there. They've tried to make them look as good as they can, but there's no life there. It's just a shell. It's the physical remains of a person. There was a triune spirit, if you would, because we had a spirit, a soul, and a body. At the point of death, our soul and our spirit leave, and the body is left lifeless. It has no ability to function in that state. And so we've been there. We've seen them take and lower the casket into the ground. If you go to a cemetery, you'll see headstones or footstones with people's names, and you'll see where they buried them. Or you may, if people have been cremated, you may go to a place where a mausoleum where they put the cremorial remains in an urn and put it up on a place. But it's just ashes or a physical body that's decaying. There's no life there. And so the question that men have is, well, how do you raise that? How do you bring life back to that which has been dead? And you can go to some of the cemeteries in town. People have been dead way over 100 years in some of these cemeteries. Are they raised back up again? A logical question. And with what body do they come? And if you can raise them up, then what body will they have when they're raised up? So Paul's going to answer these questions. And he begins by going to agriculture and science. And you're probably going, why would Paul do that? Well, first of all, everybody in his audience was familiar with agriculture at that time. It wasn't like today where we have all these processed foods and you have young people that have never seen a fish filleted or a chicken butchered, and they just go to the store and they buy it all parted out. And like my one friend's daughter called him all excited, and she said, Dad, I just went to the store and bought a chicken. I didn't know they had bones in them. How do you fix this thing? I've never done this. And she didn't know how to quarter a chicken. She didn't know what to do, how to get it, prepare it, because she'd always just bought the breast all prepared in a nice little cellophane packet, or the thigh all prepared in a nice little cellophane packet. And she didn't know. During Paul's time, everybody knew. They lived in an agrarian society. They knew about crops. They knew about seed. They knew about animals. They knew about the differences. And it's also interesting, he's giving a little biology lesson and a lesson that there's a difference and that evolution isn't real because everything is different. And so if you look at that, he injects some other thoughts here that are kind of secondary thoughts, but to illustrate the main point. Well, how does he begin? He talks about seeds. And he talks about the fact that if you go out and you have a bin full of seed. My dad, when he farmed, you could still keep your own seed and take your seed and plant your seed the next year. Today you can't do that because they've got patents on seed, and they know if you've reseeded their seed, and so then you can get in trouble for doing that. But it wasn't the case when my dad farmed. And so we'd go out and we'd have seed in our bin. And I remember one year for 4-H, I had to go and separate all the good seed from the bad seed and get like about a 2-gallon jar full of really good seed and then take it and present it for a 4-H project. And I did that, and I'm looking at these seeds, and I'm picking through all these little seeds, and they're seeds. They were seeds of wheat. It was a wheat. But guess what? In that whole 2-gallon jar, there was not one leaf. There was not one bearded head. There wasn't any roots. There wasn't any stems. It was just seeds. And if you didn't know what a wheat seed was, you would never know that that was what a wheat plant was coming from. What Paul is saying is, when you look at this body, it's like a seed. And you take a seed, and when you plant it in the ground, something different is going to come up than what you planted. You plant the wheat seed, and all of a sudden you've got a wheat plant. And you go and drive around the country now, you'll begin to see the wheat fields, and they're turning golden as they're preparing to be ready for harvest, but there are a bunch of wheat plants there. You who garden, you know that you plant seeds and you just have a seed and it doesn't have any petals or flowers, or it's not very beautiful as a seed, but you put it in the ground and all of a sudden out will spring these wonderful plants that have these beautiful flowers on them. And that's what Paul is saying here. We're like, our physical bodies are like a seed. It's not what our real body is going to be like, our resurrected body, because that is different. But it can't occur until the seed is planted. And then he gives the example that the seed has to die in order for the plant to live. And he's saying your body has to be put in the ground, you have to physically die, but then the resurrection will come, and you're going to be a new creature in Christ. And then he says, well, what does that mean? Then he's going to answer the second question. So that's how the resurrection is going to occur. It's going to be a new body. He also will tell us in just a little bit that the power of the resurrection is from Jesus Christ, as he was the first fruits of the resurrection, and by him is the power for all of us to be raised from the dead. Next question is, well, what about the bodies? What will the body, resurrected body, be like? Then he gives us a little science lesson, and he says, you know, everybody's different. If you go out and you look at the different animals of the world, they're all different. And none of them look like people. You go out and you look at a horse, it doesn't look like a person. A dog doesn't look like a cat. And you can go and there are differences because they have different bodies. And then he goes on and further explaining it, and he gives the example of the various things that illuminate the skies. And he said the sun is different from the moon, and they are both different from the other stars, and the stars are even different from one another. They each have their own type of body. And so he's saying here, guess what? The resurrected body is not going to be the same as our physical body. It's going to be something different. And he goes on, and in verse, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now, and so there's spiritual bodies, there's physical bodies. And he says, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So that which is seen in the sky has one glory, and that which is seen on earth is another. He's given us the example of the terrestrial body the celestial body. And the celestial body, the stars and the moon are different, and the other stars are different than all the animals on the earth. They each have their own type of body. But he says, then he goes on and he gives the example. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also the resurrection of the dead. So now he's going to give us an example from science, the different types of physical bodies there are in science, and what you see in the heavens versus what you see on earth. the differences that you have from the seed that's put in the ground to the plant that comes out. And now he talks about, well, what about us and our resurrection? So also is a resurrection from the dead. First of all, it is sown in corruption. Okay? Why do we die? Why does this physical body have to die? When you listen to scientists, they say, you know, the physical body was designed to heal itself. The physical body was designed to fight off all kinds of infections. The physical body was really designed so that you didn't have to age the way that we age. But something happened. And guess what? The body doesn't quite function the way that God designed it. And there's a process that begins the moment you're born, and it's called death. And we know that the minute you're born, your cells, even though they're replicating and making new cells and all this, the process of death begins the minute you're born. And that every person, it's appointed onto them once to die. Why? Because this physical body has the impact of sin upon it and has the curse of sin upon it. And so these physical bodies will die. They'll age, they'll fail, and they'll quit doing what God designed them to do because of sin. And so these wonderful mechanisms that God placed in our bodies to heal our own bodies, the wonderful mechanisms he placed in our bodies to fight off infections, all of a sudden, sometimes, for example, they're talking about that you can have your own immune system can actually attack itself because it gets confused. And it does that which it's not designed to do. And it can begin to kill you. That's what you have, these different diseases where your body, your immune system attacks your own body and you have these various diseases. And so we see here that he says that's the earthly body. And it's impacted by sin. But there's a different body, and that's the heavenly body. That's the body that we get when we are raised from the dead. And he says, we are sown in corruption, but when we're raised in incorruption. Now, we're sown, we die because of sin, but when we're raised, sin no longer has a control over us. It no longer has an impact on our bodies. It's going to be a marvelous thing. Our resurrected bodies, although the scriptures tell us and indicate that we will know one another, yet will not have the impact of sin on those resurrected bodies. And that's going to be an amazing thing. You stop and think about somebody like Fanny Crosby, who was blind and very ill her whole life, and yet she wrote those wonderful hymns. All right, we've got a number of them in our hymn book. And you stop and just listen to the words. She's always talking about seeing things and seeing Jesus and experiencing his power. And all of these types of things are the themes of her hymns because she understands one day she's going to see. One day she will be with him face to face. She's no longer going to be enslaved in a body that's failing and eyes that have never been able to see. And she's going to be able to see, and she's going to have a resurrected body that will not be impacted by sin because it's raised in incorruption. That is, no marks of sin upon it. And so he says, going on, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, that is, it's when we die, it's because of our weakness, but it's raised in power, and that's it's raised in the power of Jesus Christ and what he's experienced. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So these are two totally different bodies that we possess. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so we see that Adam, who brought sin into the world, and we were conceived in sin, born in sin, have a desire to sin, are sinners by nature. Yet when Jesus saved us, he overcame that sin, and he became the quickening spirit. The last Adam became the quickening spirit, giving us life and overcoming the death and sin. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So Paul says they're two different bodies again. He said, just as you have different celestial bodies, the moon, the stars, and different terrestrial bodies, different animals, and man, so likewise you'll have the two different bodies, a physical body sown in all these corruption and all these things, and yet raised in incorruption, and it will be a spiritual body. The first man is of the earth. That is, Adam was of the earth. He had been created of God from the earth. He had been created by God to rule over the earth, and yet he willfully chose to sin and rebel against God. And the Lord said that his physical body was taken from dust and would go back to dust. In other words, he would die and that physical body would decay. But he said the second Adam, which is the Lord, it says the second man is the Lord from heaven. He is Jesus Christ, who is God, who came to earth and took on the form of a man, that he who was without sin could redeem mankind from their sin. And he came to overcome not only sin, but also death itself. And so we will be raised not after the form of Adam, but after the form of Jesus. As it is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be raised not as with a physical earthly body, but you're going to be raised with a spiritual body. And we don't know what that's exactly going to look like. We do have little glimpses of what Jesus looked like in all of his glory. When he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples knew who he was. They knew who Moses was. They knew who Elijah was. They could identify them, but yet they stood before them glorified in their glorified bodies, which, although identifiable, were nothing like their earthly bodies. So much so that Peter stood in amazement and wanted to build little shrines to all three. And Jesus told no. But the thing is, they were so different, and yet they were identifiable. And that's because they were raised in the glory of the Son. As the earthy is, so are they that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have become the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This brings back to mind the little example that Jesus gave when they brought to him the coin that was stamped with Caesar's image on it, and they wanted to know, should you pay taxes, or are you going to pay your taxes? And what did Jesus say to them? He said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And so he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God's what is God's. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, the image on the coin, Caesar had printed the coin. They really, the whole thing, the taxes, was giving back to Caesar what was really his coins. And they were paying taxes to the Roman government and earthly government. So Jesus says, he minted the coin, give it back to him. He made it, give it back to him. Who made you? God made you. Whose image was stamped on you when you were made? And I just want you to stop and think about this. When you were made in the image of God. And because of sin, that image was obliterated by sin. But when Jesus came, that image was restored. And that not only was the image restored in this life, in our spirit, where we became new creatures, but also at the time of resurrection, it'll be restored in its completeness, where we will be raised and receive a glorified body as him. And we, as Jesus is referred to by Peter in 1 Corinthians, it says he was the first fruits amongst many. I mean, 1 Corinthians, he was the first fruits amongst many, so likewise we will be raised and reflect the image and character of Christ in its as he is in his fullness. So likewise we will be reflecting what God intended us to be. And we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so all those dead bodies out in the cemetery, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We, if we never came to know Jesus and just had this body, we'd be, as the one man said, we'd be walking dead men. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The only way you inherit the kingdom of God is by the power of Jesus Christ. And it says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So only incorruption can inherit incorruption, because corruption just inherits corruption. So what he's saying is the resurrection of the body is the manifestation of the fact that you and I have been completed. It's been completed work. Death's final control over us, which is physical death, has been removed. We received our glorified body, and we have been raised in incorruption, incorruptible. And no longer will sin be a problem for us. And we cannot inherit the kingdom of God as a sinner, but as one who comes to Christ, who has been forgiven of our sins and has been restored as a new creature, you and I will walk with him in a glorified body in heaven at the moment of resurrection. So Paul answers these two questions. Is going back to the first verse, the two questions. How are the dead raised up? Well, they're raised up by the power of God, and they're raised up by the one who is incorruptible. And with what body do they come? And we're going to come with a totally different body, one that's has the mark of incorruption upon it, not the mark of corruption. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Help us to realize that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his victory over death and sin, that we too will one day be raised and receive a glorified body. And Father, that right now, those who are dead in Christ are with him in spirit and in soul, and one day they shall have a resurrected body and be with him as well, with a complete person. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us now. Help us to be able to share with others the importance of giving their life to Jesus, who gained victory over sin and death itself. And this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your hymnals to 261.